Happy Pride Month! This is your Divinely Queer host, Asa Laveau, letting you know that this episode and each one during Pride Month is brought to you by Queer Money Gang. Join now at queermoneygang.com. Hello, beautiful people. This is Asa Laveau, and welcome to another episode of the Entrequeerneur Show with Asa Laveau. I am so happy and excited that you have said yes to co-creating another episode of this show. And before I do anything else, can we just say happy Pride? It is Pride Month, and you are now listening to the Pride Edition of the Entrequeerneur Show. So what's so different about the Pride Edition? Well, for the entire month of June, we are doing our best to highlight an entrequeerneur. That is an LGBTQ2+ individual who has taken the idea in their brain and in their heart and said, you know what? I think people need this, and have made a way for individuals in the world to say yes to the idea that was once burning in their minds and in their hearts. I believe that they deserve a moment. I believe that they deserve your support. I believe they deserve our dollars. So I'm not talking about just light and love. No, we need to like make sure these people are in business. We definitely desire for them to stay in business. And so if you are brand spanking new to the Entrequeerneur Show, or to me, Asa Laveau, please know, number one, I'm very thankful that you're here. And if you don't really know what the Entrequeerneur is all about, entrequeerneurship is a term that I coined in an effort to understand the intersection of all things entrepreneurial and divinely queer. I say divinely because I believe that we are that divine. Not broken, not sinful, not dirty, but divine. I truly believe that with every essence of my being. Now, with Pride Month and with our remembering of individuals that have made a way for us to live our best lives at this time, it is important to remember that throughout all of this, that communication has been key. Communication has been a part of our, first off, it's been a part of our lives. It's been a part of what Pride has been as well. Before there was social media, people were communicating in the best way they knew how to make the difference that they needed to see in the world. And I'm very, very happy that I get to bring to you, introduce to you, someone that is clear about how communication plays a part and their role in making sure that people can communicate in a better way. I believe that as well, as someone whose travels often. I'm recording this show abroad at the moment, and I do believe language is key. I see value in every single language, and it's important because at the end of the day, we are the human race. Even though it's Pride Month, even though I'm Black, and I'm blackety black, whatever that means. Whatever thing that we take pride in, at the end of the day, we are still the human race. And with that being said, I would love to introduce to you all a new friend to the show, Iree Givens. Iree, are you there?
We are here. Peace, blessings, and hairdressing.
I appreciate it. So Iree, before we get into it, we at the Entrequeerneur Show, we value making sure that we normalize pronoun usage. So please let us know what pronouns you use.
I use he, him pronouns.
Awesome. So, Ari, with that being said, before we even get started, I would really like to know, because of what you do, what was your favorite toy growing up?
Oh, all right, that's a left turn. Okay. My favorite toy was the Bop It. Y'all remember Bop It, Twist It, Pull It, before they added all the new buttons?
Wait a minute, you were a kid that actually played with the Bop It?
I was setting records on that Bop It, let me tell you.
I didn't even know anybody played on a Bop It until now. You actually liked it.
Yeah, I am here, like, y'all was playing with video games. I needed 3 buttons. That was all it took. I wasn't trained. Tell me what to do. I am bopping, twisting, pulling. And I think I learned some transferable skills there.
So I would love for you to let us know about those transferable skills at the bottom.
Ooh, that might be for a next podcast. I was thinking, but
well, no, we can leave it to the entrepreneur after dark. We can leave it at that. No problem. So I would love for you to know, because of the gravity of what it is you do, I have no desire to mess this up, even though I don't necessarily think I would. I want to make sure I don't. So with that being said, Ari, can you please let our listener know exactly how you have chosen to serve the world?
For sure, for sure. Like you beautiful intro me, communication is key. And what I go out in the world doing so far in the United States, Taiwan, spreading out through the East Asian market, is using hip hop and even broader arts education as a tool to scaffold people's understanding of language learning, specifically English language learning, in a way that decolonizes the process. And that is what me and the team at Lo-Fi Language Learning are doing currently and in the future. We were a pandemic dream team, to tell you the truth, and we decided that more people should have the opportunity to explore the world, because I think in a lot of ways that's the first opportunity we get to explore ourselves and realize there's just much bigger out there than, you know, any 4 grid block or square that we get locked in. And especially as, you know, people who are either career affirming all on the team, dealing with subculture of hip hop, I wanted my service in the genre. It was what I put all my energy into working, being good at, and doing. I want that service to open it up for other young, Black, brown, off the margins people to know that they can engage with in whatever lane that they choose. It happened to be education. Education was big in my family. It's a thing that was important to me and helped me, you know, come up through a lot of that, I hate to say it, but, you know, queer confusion stage growing up, and, you know, still managed to carve out like a lane for myself and, you know, seen a future for myself. So I am calling my service all kinds of, you know, I don't even want to say trailblazing, but continue the path that a lot of other, not just queer artists, but educators have contributed to, you know, the landscape we enjoy now.
So if someone, Ari, heard that and then walked away with, and I'm doing this on purpose, by the way, just the one that you know what I'm about to do. So if somebody heard that and was like, oh, so you just help queer people talk to other queer people? That's what you do? Would that be accurate?
I mean, by virtue of being this fly, sure. But what we do is help queer people and non-queer people communicate through the language of hip-hop. And for queer people, I want them to know that this is, yes, a space that's open for you and available for you to not only make connections through, but you know, them coins and dollars.
So, okay. So you are helping individuals learn how to communicate better through the love and usage of hip hop. And if people are feeling, now I've been in love with hip hop. I think, so if you go out to the movie Brown Sugar, and the question in that movie is, when did you
come out with hip hop?
That for me, I fell in love with hip hop the first time I heard on Rap City, Mary J. Blige and Method Man's duo of You're All I Need. So that was like 94, 93, possibly. So that's when I fell in love with hip hop. So, and people sometimes, since they haven't been a part of hip hop since their beginning, not since the beginning of hip hop, which of course has roots in the 70s, they weren't born and alive, just like I wasn't, but they, you know, they haven't always been in alignment with hip hop, and they may think that hip hop actually teaches you how to talk incorrectly or communicate in a way that's foul or in a way that's irreverent. What would you say to those individuals that may not have a lot of faith that hip hop could be a proper tool to allow communication to happen?
Well, first, I'd like to say I am merely just going to present a composite of what's already been established and proven. We're not the underdog no more. There's been studies and facts that show that hip-hop, as a genre, and even some individual artists have contributed just as much linguistically to our modern English landscape as a Shakespeare that we all learn in middle school and high school, pretty much every generation. And what I would really emphasize is that there is an idea of what we call scriptivism in the language learning community, which is descriptions and how language is used should be thought of in a way that describes how it's currently being used, as opposed to prescribed. And that we call prescriptivism, which is where there is a right and wrong way. So when we think about English, if you trace it back, it is already a hodgepodge of, you know, old Germanic dialect that ended up getting crossed with French, that ended up even further being just separated by any brand of colonists that you can trace coming to the United States and then, you know, spread throughout the Western Hemisphere to now, where we are continuously morphing this language, which, you know, isn't any sacred cow. There's words that we use that are of Arabic origin, of French origin, of even African languages origin. So I think that whoever I'm talking to and trying to prove this to should just take a look around you. This world has evolved. Even when I was a kid, you know, they tried to make it sound like to me, nah, it's not cool. This is a ghetto language per se. But now it's what, the number one genre in the world by sales and interest, period, or including all subgenres. It is a culture that spawned, you know, so many aesthetic movements, so many careers, so many different just economic pathways for people, that I think it's time to get descriptivist with it. Let's look at hip hop as a force that's in our culture currently, as opposed to, you know, going against some great big ought in the world, because that's just not the facts anymore.
And you're totally, totally correct, and I get all of that. And what is, so people, you piqued my interest, and I'm sure that the person that's listening to this, is their interest is piqued as well. So, okay, how do you do it? Like, how do you help people with hip hop? Like, how do you make this wonderful creation of, you know, lo-fi language learning? Like, how did you do this?
I will give y'all a short answer and a long answer, so people think I'm pulling any chains. In short, we're currently offering what's called our Arts and EFL training program, where thanks to our collaborators at Bridge TEFL, we sign participants up for a 3 to 3.5 month course currently online because we adjusted to pandemic learning, that gives folks their TEFL, English as a Foreign Language, TEFL, certification at the end so they can go about and teach wherever they like in the world in this growing industry of language learning, not just in the United States but abroad, but have an arts education perspective from it. And that's where our workshops in the course come in. I am the curriculum designer and program director, so I facilitate the course, take our, let's say, students through a twice-a-week learning session workshops while they complete their online actual curriculum. And by the end of it, you know, they're not only prepared to go into the field of language learning, but from a descriptivist lens and from a background that has really, really influenced English language learning, which is hip hop. That being said, I'm also an MC. That was how I came up. So we teach folks how to use these skills that you get through hip hop, you know, MCing, DJing, breaking, the knowledge, the arts, the aesthetic, graffiti, the five pillars of hip hop, as they're so called, and use them to design curriculum, games, but also just approaches when they get into that English classroom so no one feels caught off guard. And beyond that, you know, we're big on media, giving our participants and students opportunities beyond. So we keep folks on when they have good ideas. For example, we're helping one student right now currently, shout out to CC Reed, produce a hip-hop based children's show pilot as a result of her exiting the course. We're also
we're also
going about doing, we just wrapped doing a conference presentation at Harvard Graduate School of Education, shout out to the hip-hop EX lab over there. So we're big on also creating and crafting a platform for people who do our course to still continue to benefit from and feel like they can still create as artists and not just teachers, period. Although very similar skills, you're teaching to an audience of, you know, small children, young adults, whoever your classroom is versus a stage, stadium, whoever it is, you still treat the people receiving your performance with the same amount of respect. That's the respect to the cipher. So these are the transferable skills. Yep, we wrapped around to that, that we're bringing folks through this hip hop game.
So let me be very, very clear to those that are listening. As a result of working with Lo-Fi, which is you and your organization, they will be able to pass the instructional, well, the curriculum in order to teach English as a language in what amount of time?
The course wraps up in 3 to 3.5 months. So you could skip all your $30,000 of student debt that Joe Biden is not going to get rid of for us. And, you know, I'm about to Suge Knight it too. If you tired of government being all in your paycheck, all in your mail talking about debt, come work with Lo-Fi. You can take that certification, go out, explore the world, get a job here or online, teaching the way you use language and use it to fund your dreams. And especially for artists, especially for Black, Brown, and queer artists, we want you to know that this is a lane you could do outside of, you know, funding some major, whether it's a record label or government agency, by trying to just live your dream.
Do you realize what you're doing?
Man, I wake up every day and I'm just hoping that others do.
Because I get it. Like, I really, and the reason why I get it, number one, I've had 19 years experience in the military, and one assignment that I was honored to have was I was the officer in charge of the language department in a military training institute in Saudi Arabia. So my job was to oversee the U.S.-based instructors who were there on the ground teaching the Saudi Arabian military and recruits the English language. And so I would come in, I would check on learning. They would do their best to speak to me. I was there when they took their final test. I was even honored to speak at their graduation. And so I do understand what it means to really put in the effort to teach English as a language, what can come from it, how people can go in very hesitant and frightful and then come out with a sense of just knowing, what's a sense of knowing and relaxation. And then with my travels in Kuwait and Dubai, definitely I meet a lot of teachers. I've met a lot of teachers in those locations that teach English as a language. And they all tell me how they love what they do. They absolutely love what they do. And you, and through what your organization is, you're giving that possibility. And I've got to say, I have never met anyone that taught English as a language abroad that had a bad work environment. They seemed to be that the opportunities they were given were financially lucrative. It was easy on their psyche and on their well-being, and they enjoyed their students. Would that be accurate for your experience as well?
I would say, oh yes, 100%. For what we were doing, we started off, I was in Taiwan, not serving as part of the military, but through the Fulbright program. And I did my graduate studies there researching EFL, English as a Foreign Language, or ESL, English as a Second Language, teaching and practices on the island and how much they're investing in it. And there's a whole just population there of English speakers now who come and live very fulfilling lives, teaching, funding their own dreams, just interacting with an entirely just new way of being. And I think that's so powerful. And shout out to also you being, let's just say for what it is, a Black American representing the English language, period, because you could still go around to a lot of different places where they teach this. And unfortunately, colonialism again, the idea mm-hmm. is that, you know, you have to deconstruct what is right and wrong English. You have a lot of these ecosystems in their own country telling them, oh, for example, if you're in India, right, which came out of British occupation within like some parents and grandparents' lifetimes. And they'll have their own entirely different conception of English. It's a concept we call global Englishes that a lot of different EFL and ESL learners or teachers would honestly sometimes shirk for the purpose of thinking, well, I have to learn this commercial, like English that can make me this money. And my point is, through all this, and as I'm sure you've been through, English is the medium, it's the tool, it's the message that matters. So let's teach every single one of those tools. So let's reach out to hip hop and artists and spread a better message and show people now, and here's where I'm at with it, that if you're an artist, especially Black and brown artist, came up in the industry, you love it, and you're looking to, you know, take that next step, we have a very, very big gap in between, you know, how Black people are represented in the teaching workforce, just period, in the West mm-hmm. and abroad, if you're not in African or Caribbean country. So let's address that. Where is all the linguistic talent going? Oh, because it's been told us that we have to do it through this way, music industry, social media, whatever else. When actually, you know, you can have people who are paving the way, like the D Smokes of the world, you know what I mean? Just for an example,
mm-hmm.
who can educate, keep doing craft, and find a genuine way to just enjoy creating and sharing their art and can still find, you know, that dream that I don't want to tell people not to have. Like, yeah, you can still rock that big stage. It's very possible.
So for those of you who are listening, please understand, first off, that you are in the, you are hearing greatness.
Oh, bless you.
And let me be very clear on why I'm saying that. I am saying that because as someone who has, in my entrepreneurial journey, I've owned a daycare center. Like I said, in my military journey, I've been an officer in charge of a small contingent of English as a foreign language instructors. As someone who has traveled so much and has talked to many individuals about this particular topic, which is not what I usually talk about, which is entrepreneurship, I honestly say that this is greatness, that you can combine English as a foreign language, English as a second language, the curriculum to teach that, and then you incorporate the royalness of what it is to be linguistically certified in all things hip hop, and to combine these in a way that allow people to come out of their financial predicaments and to leave a situation where they feel burdened, alone, trapped, and unfulfilled. Yeah, I don't take what you're doing lightly at all. I understand the gravity and the possibility of what you have and what you're doing. And for those of you who are listening, I get it. Entrepreneurship is, that's what this is all about. And one thing that I will do better at talking about is all the pockets that happen on the road of entrepreneurship, which looks like gig work, looks like taking a contract here, a contract there. And so if you are looking to fill that void, I mean, I was an entrepreneur being an Uber driver. I know what this is like. I have done plasma. I'm also the guy that was a go-go dancer in Southern California. Like when I talk about all things, I get them because I've lived them. And so you don't have to go down the road that I went, because go-go dancing is not something that I recommend to every single person. I just don't. However, if you're like, you know what, but I can teach English as a foreign language, English as a second language, and I could possibly even do that. I don't have to go to another place. I could do that via my computer from my house, which is a possibility. And you could use lo-fi to make that a reality. Like, there's no point why you should not be doing your best to get in front or get next to Irie, like, as soon as humanly freaking possible. That's not, if you're in a way that's not being financially lucrative at this moment, you're like, I got to do something to eat because, you know, cereal costs money. Yeah, you need to do something because the sales aren't happening because you haven't cracked that particular code yet. Then this is something that you can do. But also, if you want to make a business out of that, so you get with Irie, you learn what you need to learn, and then you set up your own organization so that you can now contract English as a first language, English as a second language, to set yourself up in a financially lucrative way, because you now have this skill set, then why not do that? Irie, would that be accurate for everything, how I just said that, or am I missing something?
Oh, that is on the money. Go in.
Okay, just making sure. Because my thing is, I really understand that what I never want to do is paint entrepreneurship in this pretty picture like things don't happen. Things definitely happen. And when you have skills, you can bounce back from the happening easier, sooner, and faster than you were if you were out there with absolutely no skills. Because a lot of times it's not about people sleeping on you, it's the fact that you're sleeping on yourself and not willing to do what you need to do to make your life different. And yeah. That's not an attack on anyone's place in life, that's an attack on your willingness to be mediocre.
Woof. One time for the bag.
So that's, hey man, that's... Go ahead.
Let me say, I'm really glad that, like, you know, this alignment is really coming in perfectly. Like, just in hearing your background and knowing that this is a lane we can connect on. Because I specifically was excited to catch that email and see, you know, the entrepreneurship podcast is the place we could talk about lo-fi and, you know, merging these worlds of language learning, hip hop, and financial literacy to say, hey, if you're a young or not young queer person out there and you're in, you know, you steeped in the culture, which we exist, we out here, please don't feel like you got to spend your entire career or whatever move you're making showing and proving. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I really, really want, you know, the same energy I'm putting into saying, be descriptivist about how, you know, Black culture has transformed language. In the same vein, it has been, you know, the creativity and the grit of queerness that is a perfect fit and that has proven itself to be a perfect fit in not only, you know, academia, but hip hop too, the culture. Like, don't read into lo-fi language learning and, you know, you see homeboy with dreads, his whatever it is I might be rocking in that front page of the website, and think, okay, well, very specific, you know, brand of, you know, masculinity or posture. No, this is our culture, period. And we are just as open and welcome to come through, not only just make some money, but make a difference in it.
Exactly. And thank you for bringing that point home. That was very needed. So with that being said, as we wrap up, how in the world can they get in touch? Like, what's the best entry point of getting in touch with you? Should they email you? Should they get you on Facebook? What's that way?
First, I have to follow us on your socials if you got them. Facebook, Instagram, Lo-Fi Language Learning, our at on Insta is Lo-Fi Language, no underscores, no spaces. Second, I'd encourage everyone, go to our website, lofilanguage.com. When you see that form at the bottom that says hit us up, say, hey, I'm interested, I like what I heard, or just drop a line and say, let's establish this connection. And when our next cohort opens, we will be so excited to be the first ones to welcome y'all in, or just let you guys know what's going on in our ecosystem with other productions, talks, seminars we might be going out there. And finally, feel free to, you know, just hit your boy up. Ivory_Givens on Instagram. Or if you want to skip all the channels, shoot me a direct email. You can catch me at mwiton at N-E, like Northeast, bodied, B-O-D-I-E-D, ent.org. The parent company for Lo-Fi Language Learning, Anybody Entertainment, how we handle our production. So please get in touch if any of this is speaking to y'all at all. And otherwise, you know, blow entrepreneurship podcast up. Get Asa to feel through these and let him see how hard we will stutton to route us through.
Understood. So thank you for being on. For those of you who feel like you didn't hear all of that as maybe as slowly as you needed it to be, that's fine. That's totally fine. Like, that's not a dig at Irie, not a dig at anybody. That's just, I understand you intake information differently, and that's okay. Please know that if you go to the show notes, all the information of what he just stated is in the show notes. So you don't have to feel left out. You don't have to feel like you missed that opportunity. But I will say right now, in this moment, if you don't connect, you're missing out on a goddamn opportunity. I'm very clear about that. You're missing out on an opportunity. Why not just get the damn skill? Like, there's so many different avenues to success. It doesn't have to look like mine. It doesn't have to look like Irie's. Like, it can just be different for you. And so choose something different so that you can experience something different. And with that, I will say thank you, guys. Thank you, Irie. Thank you to those of you who have chosen to co-create another episode of The Entrepreneur Show. As always, this is Asa Laveau, Dreams and Blessings.